Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hit it! Na 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 na.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It is draft day in Kansas City. Hope to see all of you at the landing tonight in Liberty. Our full show, our entire staff at 610 going to be hanging out there for the entire night. Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley broadcasting live at 6 o'clock. And again, you can fill out that draft form, 610sports.com, or when you show up before the first round starts tonight at the landing, how do you see the first round going? And I'll be honest, like, to me, waiting till today to do it probably is smart. It just probably is. Some of you already filled it out, but based off of, you know, there's new rumors and all kinds of stuff coming out.
Might change your mind.
Maybe so. You know, we'll get into some of the latest mock drafts and all that throughout the show today, but hope to see you guys up there tonight. Right now, we just have a two-hour show scheduled, unless weather...
For now.
Complicated. As of right this second, we're handing things off to Vern at noon. That's the current plan, but with the weather in the KC area, maybe there's a chance this game today gets altered, so we'll keep an eye on that, but as of now... until noon today. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Have you changed at all? How are you guys feeling about tonight for the Chiefs and individually? You know, we'll get to the other top five picks in a second, but what's your feel on the Chiefs in particular? Are they staying at 32?
So I've tried to really think about whether or not Brett Veach was truth-telling when he had said, I think Nate was right, where he had, in a way, kind of admitted to the idea that he was willing to overpay in order to be up higher in the draft where they want to be. I'll be honest, I think that's a mistake to overpay. I think he's doing it right by just saying, like, hey, if somebody wants to give me the right deal, a fair deal for both parties, I'm willing to go up. And it seems like most people don't want to do that yet. And I just kind of feel like after all that, he's kind of maybe not truth-telling enough. Yeah. I actually think they're going to pick at 32 again. I think it is harder to move up or down than you think. Last year's a perfect example of that. They wanted to move more than pick there, and they settled for picking when it all shook out. And I just think there's more talent at 32 than there was last year. I think you're going to have a lot better options at that pick than you did just a year ago.
It's so tough every year, but I feel like this year's even trickier because, look, last year you're picking 31, the last pick in the first draft. This year there's nobody cheating like the Dolphins did, so you're actually picking at 32. Yeah. And so much of what your plan is, and you might even have the right train of thought, like, you know, whether it's Brett Veach and they truly want a left tackle or not, or you're someone that's, you know, locked into the Chiefs in particular, and we had Nate Taylor on, and like you're hearing, and that all might be true, and that all might be the plan, but, you know, you have all these other teams that impact your decision. You know, it's one thing if you're trying to say, all right, you're picking fifth, Cody, then I think we actually could probably have a really, really good idea of what they're going to do because you're not relying on so many other teams. 32, man, even if 5-6 quarterbacks go off the board, two teams decide to take a tackle you weren't in your projections if you're the Chiefs thinking take an offensive tackle, well, all of a sudden, even if you wanted one, now you might have to pivot, and you probably will pivot, and so that's what's tricky.
Takes a lot to go right for the right tackle to be available to you at 32.
Because where I've been is I actually think they should draft a tackle, and I tend to believe that they really would like to draft a tackle, but what you said, it requires... you to trade up, in my opinion, to get that tackle. So you got to have a team that's willing to work with you. And then the board still, to be cliche here, has to fall the right direction to where there's not a huge run on tackles that prevent you from actually trading up. Because I don't think they're if they trade up tonight, I don't think it's any higher than like pick 21 or 22, like the Trent McDuffie area again.
I think Schrager had him up to 19 in his mock.
Yeah, that seems high.
Who's at 19 right now? The Rams? Is that
yes? Where yes, that's right. Yeah, it is the Rams at 19. And yes, Schrager has them trading up for the Mims kid, another tackle who can't stay healthy and injury prone. I don't really like that trade.
He barely played.
Yeah. So I think trade up wise, pick 21 is as high as I realistically could see them going. But if the tackle's not there and there's no reason to trade up, then staying at 32 or trade down. I keep mentioning that. Like, I know that would suck. Everybody's waiting around. Someone said, oh, I'm going to have to wait till 9 o'clock for Veach to pick. If they stay at 32, try like 10:30. It's going to be like 10:15, 10:30 before they pick if they wait till 32.
I think offensive tackle is the position that if they had A.D. Mitchell available and they had – I don't know name the tackle. I think they take the tackle at 32. But I think one thing that I said yesterday while we're joining the drive is I think that they need to be aggressively proactive for the pick that they want, not reactive. Because if they're reactive, then they fall into the trap potentially, as you said, Gold, of, well, no tackles available that we think is worth it here. We don't have A.D. Mitchell. We could take Ladd McConkey here, but do we feel like that's the best?
But that's where you can trade back if there's a partner to trade back.
I feel like they could get caught in that scenario where
that's how they got stuck last year. They wanted to trade back because they thought that they could get the guy they wanted later and couldn't find a partner.
And yeah, exactly that. No matter how aggressive you want to be, in the end, a team has to be willing to trade back with you. I think they end up taking Ladd McConkey at 32 because I think A.D. Mitchell is going to go to if they get A.D. Mitchell, it has to be trading up. In my mind, I don't think he's falling
seems
to 32.
Like it seems like it, you know, and then this goes back to what we've been reminding people of all week, which is like, this is based off of what everybody perceives to be.
Consensus mock.
Right. That A.D. Mitchell consensus would that he's not there at 32. But we know there's going to be at least three or four individuals that either don't even go in the first round that everybody thought was a first rounder, or there's going to be someone that everybody thought would be off the board by 18 and he's there at 32, or someone that was going to clearly be available at 20 and he's off the board at 12. I mean, this is what makes the draft unpredictable and fun and why everybody seemingly can't get enough sometimes of the draft content.
Well, like, it's why I go back and like, I think about what we, you know, like last year, you and I with DeJuan Jones, a player that most people thought was going to be kind of like a second round pick on the offensive line and had a good year, but most people thought he was going to go around that range. And then he went in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are like, and I don't know if like the Brian Thomas Jr. rumors are right. There were multiple NFL draft experts who yesterday started saying that there are multiple teams who have health red flags on Brian Thomas Jr. If that's true, maybe he's available at 32, even though you didn't think he's going to be available, but he might as well go at like 11. Like it's so hard to know. Like if you go back through last year, you might remember at 32, we were talking about maybe Mingo would be available. And he went quite a bit later in, I think he was like maybe top 10 in the second round. Or we talked about BJ Ojulari, who went in the middle of the second round as a possible first round guy. But guys who went down in the third and stuff, we talked about the same way. So there's going to be some unpredictable nature to it. If you made me guess, I'd say they pick at 32 and they take a wide receiver. I'll take Leggett because he's the guy I want.
Yeah.
I don't think you can guess wrong at that if it's Ladd McConkey or A.D. Mitchell. But I'm thinking they're taking a wide receiver at 32. I think tackle is going to be too cost prohibitive in order to get where they need to be in order to make that work, especially because now, and we can get to this in a minute, the rumors are that Latham might go in the top five. And if that's the case, well, then Alt going still in the top 10, and then everyone else is going to start jumping up behind that.
I wonder, so looking at some of the teams that they could potentially trade up for, I think we've seen the Cowboys multiple times mentioned. Nate Taylor in their draft yesterday has them trading up to 24 to get Kingsley Suamataia. The Cowboys don't have a fourth-round pick. I don't know if that would get the deal done, but if you move from if the Chiefs say, hey, we'll give you 32, we'll also give you our fourth-round pick
for
24. And again, I don't know the points total, if it matches up well enough, but if they say, hey, our guy is here, we can move up to 20, we can move up eight spots, and we can get Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell, a tackle, and we feel very comfortable enough to still keep our second and third-round pick and do that, then by all means, they should do it. and not just sit back and wait. I mean, if they have the opportunity, I feel like they have to take it, because you'd rather be sure you get your guy than hope that they fall at 32 and then be stuck in a spot where you have to trade back.
So separating the two, what they should do, I think they should draft Kingsley out of BYU at tackle. What will they do? I kind of am with you a little bit, Cody, where I think they end up just staying at 32, and whether it's A.D. Mitchell or Ladd McConkey, it seems like those would be the two possibilities.
Is there a preference you have at wide receiver?
A.D. Mitchell. So A.D. Mitchell. Okay. The reason for that is, it was funny, you weren't with us yet at the time, but we went back and forth as a show the year George Pickens was coming out of college. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
Again, two years ago.
2 years ago.
And how much everybody wanted him, and now look what he's doing in the NFL. I think A.D. Mitchell has a chance to be like George Pickens. Like, to me, that's a comp. George Pickens.
Where all of a sudden he's 40.
Yeah, and he is good at, we've just been the theme when we've talked wide receivers all week. He possesses good, like, deep ball tracking skills that they don't have in this offense. That's what I like about A.D. Mitchell compared to some of the other names. Now, if you believe in, hey, Brett Veach saying that his biggest regret was passing up on a DK Metcalf, well, then that's where Leggett is interesting, because he's probably the closest. I'm not saying he's going to be DK Metcalf, but he's probably the closest to that body style and that style of receiver.
Well, and what we were talking about, the fact that, and I'm not saying he's never used weapons. He's obviously taken a bunch of second round wide receivers and all that. But as many times as the Chiefs have picked in the top 50, which is pretty much every year in perpetuity, even in the years where they traded their first round pick, they have often been somewhere in that range. They have taken exactly one offensive player for Patrick Mahomes in the top 50 of the draft. A singular player. That was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's it. I mean, I'm not saying he's like, he owes him, but like, at some point, and again, I get it. They spent free agency money on wide receiver. They've spent second round picks on McColl and Sky, and obviously Rashee Rice worked out last year. But at some point, we talk about this with tackle, wide receiver falls into the same range to me as tackle. It might be, those might be the only two positions in which they haven't spent their most premium pick on. And at the very least, with tackle, they've once spent their 30th overall pick on Orlando Brown Jr. So in a way, they spent it on tackle. Not in the draft, but they did spend it on tackle. They have never made a big swing for wide receiver at any point. And I think largely, they've been able to get away with it because Travis Kelce exists, and they had a nice year out of Rashee Rice. But at some point, just because of everything at play, I'd like him to take a swing at wide receiver. Look, I'm good with tackle. I'm not going to be upset if they end up trading up for a tackle or taking a tackle tonight. I just think they're taking a wide receiver.
How often, I guess I would ask, how often, especially if you're at the back end of the draft, it's one thing if you're in the top five, how often do fans, let's just talk from a fan perspective, do fans have their team draft the guy they want? Like, if you're in the top five,
all the time.
Well, no, I would say all the time in the top five or top 10. Yeah. Not at the bottom of the draft. When's the last time the Chiefs drafted somebody?
And
this, the point being is it's so hard to predict the back end. But, you know, if you're in the top five or top 10, usually fans, like, whatever, if you're a Jets fan, like Brock Bowers and Rome Odunze are like, seem like to be the, maybe two of the players that Jets fans want their team to draft. The Bears, it's pretty obvious. They want, they're going to get Caleb Williams and they want maybe Rome Odunze at nine. So it's easier to do that. So I guess what I'm saying is, who do you think right now Chiefs fans want them to draft the most? Like, who are the top two
wide
names?
Wide receiver. Oh,
top two names?
A.D. Mitchell.
Okay.
Because they've seen that name over
they're
and over and over.
They're probably both
and
wide receivers, because fans always love the, the fun position of wide
it's
receiver.
Definitely that.
And, then, and so I guess I bring this up to say,
probably.
I don't know if they're going to, like, how often does that actually happen? And so if that's the case, what I'm getting at is, do they end up just taking the best player available? We're sitting here, people are a little bummed out, but it ends up being a great pick, and they actually draft a corner, or they draft a defensive lineman because he's actually the second or third best corner in the draft, and he's there at 32.
That's the one scenario where they pick a corner, is somehow Kool-Aid falls to them at 32, or they get Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri at 32, or Jared Verse is a guy who has slid a little bit. I don't know if he'd slide all the way to 32, but you just...
Cooper DeJean.
If you're
I did learn that Kool-Aid's real first name is GaQuincy.
Yes.
I thought, that's a name. G-A apostrophe Quincy.
Kool-Aid's cooler.
Well, obviously, but his, like, he doesn't have a hyphen in his first name, in his, you know, his birthday, but he's got an apostrophe, so he's still got something in there.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, I just, nobody should be stunned, though, if we're sitting there and they actually stay at 32 and they end up just taking a corner. Everybody's like, nobody thought that they were going to do that.
And
just, that would be more of the best player available approach.
So in 2017, I would say that they took the person, they took quarterback. People want him to take quarterback. Then they didn't pick in 2018 or 19. So we don't even have an example. In 2020, there definitely were people who were interested in Clyde Edwards-Helaire or a running back with that first pick. not me, but there definitely were people. I would say they wanted a skill player for Patrick Mahomes at that time. So, like, close. Didn't have first round pick in 2021. 2022 is tough. I'll guarantee you this. Nobody was like, give me a corner. Nobody. Maybe defensive end with Karlaftis. We talked a lot about defensive end at that time.
Okay.
And then Felix Anudike-Uzomah, no. So generally speaking, no.
So that's why I'm wondering, like, if we base it off of what fans want, it's usually not what happens at 28 to 32, which is where the Chiefs draft, that fans get the player. Everybody, like, if we were to base it off of the initial what fans wanted, then Xavier Worthy would be the pick, not even A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah, that's probably
true. I think
true.
That's even much.
I think wide receivers, we are all going to be way off. There's way too many names. People are going to love so many different players.
Yeah.
They come in all different flavors. Yep. Whichever order we have them in now, like 4 through 9, it ain't accurate. Like, it's not going to be how it goes down. That's all.
The fact that we all agree that they're going to stay at 32, I think, opens up that possibility of them taking a corner, a D lineman, much, much more because of
Newton.
What's happened with, you know, the consensus of, okay, it's offensive tackle. And Johnny Newton's, he's in that range where if Byron Murphy goes, because he's projected to be the top D tackle taken, and you're at 25 or 26. I not to say they would trade up for a D tackle, but if you were to say, hey, the Chiefs trade up 4 spots and they take Johnny Newton at 28.
Well, then that must mean
or 3 spots. Is that a problem?
Not if they love him. Not if they're right.
In a weird way.
For you guys, is that
No, it's not four spots.
No, because I think there is, at some point, you get the benefit of the doubt. If you're a general manager, and Brett Veach to me has earned that in the draft now with the track record. And that is, if they're trading up now for somebody, like I actually do buy the, hey, we love the heck out of this guy. We felt like we couldn't draft him. I mean, we know what the story with McDuffie, they had him as a top 12 pick or whatever. And he's there at what, 21, whatever he got drafted at.
But they had to get him.
And so they're like, oh, we have to get him. So in my mind, at least if they trade up at all, it's somebody that they had projected, let's just say, a top 15 or a top 20 pick, and he's there
somebody
at 20.
McDuffie.
Yeah, and he's there at 23, and like, wow, oh, okay, we got to go pull the trigger, you know, or it's just somebody they view like, you know, they've kept quiet, you know, a generational type of talent, and they're like,
sure,
Brett Veach has never scouted a defensive lineman like this, or I'm just throwing out hypotheticals. Like, it would take something like that, possibly, for them to move up other than a position of need.
I already told you, I don't think it's going to be corner. They're trying to make everyone too convinced it's corner. It's not going to be corner. 0%. I'm putting it at 0.000.
I don't think you want to do that, though. I don't think you want to put that. I'm just saying.
You don't think I want to come in here tomorrow when they take Cooper DeJean.
I don't think you want to put it at zero, because if the tackle run happens and it, after all this, they're like, you know what? We're just going to take the best player. And people may not like the pick initially, but fast forward 2 years from now, and that corner is the compliment to Trip McDuffie, and all of a sudden the Chiefs have the top two, you know, corners in football, two of the top 5 corners in football, and they're paying one of them, both of them, on a rookie deal. And so to not pay Snead, and all of a sudden you go and bring in a corner, I don't think they need to do that in the first round. I think that's a second round thing. But if they did that in the first round, I don't think it's that crazy. The more we've talked about it, 3 weeks ago, I was like, absolutely not. But more we talk about it, and if you believe the reports that there could be so many of these tackles taken, corner at 32 maybe is not that crazy.
I wonder
if I'd be able to get one of the better ones.
If for whatever reason, if Quinion Mitchell is available at 20, I think.
Oh, I don't know if they're trading up 10 spots for a corner, 12 spots for a corner.
No,
so Quinion is, he's been compared to Sauce Gardner in terms of the impact that he can make on the field.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
If he's available at 22, I wouldn't be surprised.
Trade off for a corner. I just got a third round pick for Snead, and I'm going to trade 11 spots up and give up multiple picks.
Why wouldn't I just paid Snead? You know, want to save money, but, and the injury stuff and all the things that go with it. I still think the biggest possible trade thing tonight is, all wide receivers getting traded today, right?
Oh, you think Ayuk's getting traded?
I think Ayuk or T. Higgins, which we can get to in a minute.
We're going to talk about Drew's Bengals. Nobody wants to be a Cincinnati Bengal.
I don't think T's getting traded. But
I feel like there's been no smoke around Davante Adams, so then like all of a sudden he'll be traded.
That would be
because they
got
to kind of like.
I don't think he's getting traded because I also think the Raiders drafted Michael Penix Jr. and he's going to give it a year with the rookie and see what happens.
And that might be if they take a quarterback, it's a lot different, obviously, and the odds of that moving are significantly less likely. I just feel like some kind of trade's happening. Who else do you think is the surprise team that moves way the hell up? Because I don't think it'd be all that surprising if Denver moved to 4. I don't think we should be like, whoa, Denver, no way. I'd be a little surprised if the Raiders went that high.
I still think the biggest, as far as jumping of spots, is going to be whoever trades up to 5 and takes the Chargers spot. So whether you think that's the Vikings, it's like a 5-pick trade up or whatever, 11-pick or 6-pick, I'm sorry, trade up, or you think it's the Broncos or you think it's the Raiders. I just struggle to see that. Is Harbaugh at 5 going to trade with Sean Payton and the Broncos and allow Sean Payton to draft his college quarterback? I just don't believe that's happening.
Is a sleeper team at quarterback Seattle? New coach. He's not married to Geno, right?
Yeah, see, to me, that's what a late first care? Round. To me, that would be Seattle trades back into the first round, and that's who grabs, like, Bo Nix late or something.
Okay. I mean, I just felt like that's a team that, yeah. If all of a sudden it was like, which surprise team jumped up to wherever to take a quarterback? Seattle's picking 16th.
What other picks are that? Did they have ammunition to go back into the first round?
I don't know.
I do think it is interesting. I don't know who's their backup because they got Geno and then Drew Lock left. So I think they almost have to take a quarterback.
But
at some point they're going to take a guy. Maybe
they don't have a second round pick. They got round 1, 16.
They could trade down and take Bo Nix.
Round 1, 16. Yeah, that's true as well. But Bo Nix is interesting there. Round 1, 16. Then they pick in round 3, and then they have 2 fourths, 2 6, and the 7th. So they'd have to trade some. They'd have to some future picks or trade down.
Another possible team the Chiefs can trade up with.
Look, I hope 6 quarterbacks go. I know you and I differ on how many quarterbacks could go.
Yeah, I don't think Bo Nix is going in the first, but that's it.
For the Chiefs' sake, that'd be great.
Yeah, I hope he goes
6 QBs go. Obviously, that's 6 players that you were never interested in. That means tackles, wide receivers, corners, whatever, slide down the board more. And I do think ultimately 6 quarterbacks go. I think there's a chance 5 of them go in the top 12.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the Raiders and the Broncos do because they need quarterback, but are they actually, how much do they love Michael Penix Jr.? How much do they love Bo Nix? Do they love them enough to take them actually in the first round?
You guys agree though that this time tomorrow, we're talking about the Broncos and Raiders having a brand new starting quarterback? So after the first round, basically.
No.
Broncos, yes. Raiders, no.
Okay, so you think the Broncos are more likely to draft a quarterback than the Raiders? Mm-hmm. So you're leaning into you think
they'll
go with Gardner.
I think the veteran coach will go with Gardner Minshew for a year, and they'll just try to ride it out.
I think both teams come away with a quarterback. I tend to think it's Penix and McCarthy, but let's just take Bo Nix maybe even is the answer for the Broncos if we've mentioned Seattle as well. But I think both teams end up drafting a quarterback tonight. Not will they draft one in the entire weekend? Of course they will. But for tonight, as in first-round picks, I think both end up with new starting quarterbacks, or they won't say they're their starter, but you're drafting them in the first round. They're going to start for you.
They should. Yeah. If they take them in the second, that's when they're like, hey, we're going to let these guys compete. And they let Gardner Minshew start for like 7 games, and then when they're like 3 and 4, here comes the rookie.
I mean, a Denver camp battle between Zach Wilson and Bo Nix would be hilarious.
I definitely think Denver's taking a quarterback because I can't get over the fact that Sean Payton took that job just to start to burn the first 2 years as a Denver Broncos head coach with a quarterback he hated before he even got there and hated more when he got there. And then he's just going to go, for real, he's going to go Zach Wilson and Jared. No way.
You said Broncos do, Raiders don't, Cody?
Yes.
I think the Raiders do and the Broncos don't.
God, I'd be stunned if the Broncos didn't take a quarterback.
Yeah, at some point, Sam Howell got traded to Seattle. That's who's backing up. That's who's backing up Geno.
That's like, I got to consider you at least. Maybe they're the second or third round. Maybe they are the Spencer Rattler company.
I think Denver is
for Seattle, but
I think Denver's taking Spencer Rattler in the third round. That's going to be what it is.
I mean, I just wouldn't even take a quarterback then.
Yeah,
I just wouldn't even take a quarterback then. I just wait. Just go ahead and
I'll be honest.
Take the long play and go ahead and just hope you have a top 5 pick next year too.
25 years from now, when Patrick Mahomes decides to retire at the age of 50. And the Chiefs have to find a new quarterback.
And Travis Kelce's catching passes at age 60.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I am not interested in a free agent quarterback. Any of them. I can just tell you right now. In the land of 2050, I am not interested in any free agent quarterback that is available. I don't want any of them. And I don't want any quarterback drafted after the second. I'd like a first-round quarterback, please. That's it. I can't believe some of these teams still sit on this. When a team like the Chiefs screwed it up for so long. Because they did. They got it right now, and everything's great, and they got 3 Super Bowl titles. They made one bad pick in the 80s and spent 30 damn years not taking a quarterback in the first round. And the first time they did it, they got a generational starting quarterback once in a lifetime. And yeah, You could have screwed it up a whole bunch of times in between then and the Cleveland Browns and had 17 names on your jersey. Mm. But taking Brody Croyle in the third or Spencer Rattler in the third this year, the possible success rate on it is so impossibly low, it's a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. You want to take him later because you want to do it the Brock Purdy way, where you take the guy third overall and you just take some other dude in the seventh a year later because you're like, screw it, can't hurt. Cool, we're good there.
So you would then take, so you're saying you'd rather have Bo Nix than Spencer Rattler?
Yes. Yes. Look, I don't want Bo Nix, I'll be honest.
Well, I'm just saying, if the Chiefs in 2050 have a guy who's 25 and they're going to take him,
I'll be honest, I wouldn't take Bo Nix on the first, but yes, your point is valid. I would take Penix.
I just want to
make
sure.
Want to talk about the Penix I'm in, I think Bo Nix should be a second round guy. So then you're really kind of splitting hairs. I don't want Bo Nix either in that scenario. I want zero. I want a first round quarterback, the end. Ideally, somewhere in the top 15, if we're being honest.
Remember, we got our draft contest tonight. If you know how the draft's going to go, like this guy that texted in that says, you guys don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. You think you could be an NFL GM. Not one of you know what the heck you're talking about. Perfect. You should enter our draft contest. You've got it figured out. So you can win $610 tonight. Fill out a draft form. We'll see you at the landing tonight in Liberty. Coming up next, though, we'll talk a little bit more about the left tackle position, why Cody says it's not as necessary as I do, and nobody wants to stay with Drew's Cincinnati Bengals.
And with the first round pick, Deion Sanders.
I was kind of scared. I thought Detroit was going to take me. I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Welcome back to the NFL Draft.
Good young players.
What the draft's all about.
Year in and year out.
Welcome back to the draft.
Wide receivers, running back.
Tackle.
Quarterback.
Every year in the draft,
there has been a trade.
Ricky Williams.
John Dolphin.
This is the NFL Draft Remix.
Welcome back to the draft.
Defensive line.
Wide receiver, running back.
Tackle. Quarterback.
That's all I get into that.
What is this?
I've never heard this.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know if this was Drew's creation.
No, this is made 12 years ago.
12 years. Well, I heard the Ricky Williams mention, but
it's an NFL draft.
I've honestly never heard this before. I didn't know this was a thing.
This must be like the football's version of basketball. Gimme.
It's got almost a million views on YouTube.
Except that's way better.
I love that one. Are you kidding me?
That's way better. It is draft day, though. I didn't know.
That's why I played it, yeah.
Well, yeah, I never heard that one before. I didn't know if that was, we'll get to whatever. Hey, you know what? Whatever song makes you feel better today. We'll get to your Bengals in a little bit because
don't
it's
even
a hell of a time
started.
To be a Cincinnati fan, man. That was quite the news yesterday. We'll get there in
the whole
a
team
few
said we're done. Here.
Yeah,
we're good.
I can't blame them. I can't get out of Cincinnati. Can't blame them one bit.
This is probably a dump.
Yep. Clearly
never
is.
Never been. But,
yep.
You know.
Drew hasn't been either. I don't think.
Oh no, I've been to Cincinnati multiple times, and Nate Taylor does not
for
like
a game,
Cincinnati
though.
Either. Yeah, no, yeah, I've been to Cincinnati for a game.
Oh, why do I feel like you haven't been there for a
Parker
game?
Parker Stadium's great.
We were talking about...
It is older. Like, their lease is up here in a couple of years, so they'll be in a similar situation.
The whole league's apparently in a situation where they're trying to get a new stadium, so we'll see. Chicago wants a five... You know, can I ask a question about Chicago Stadium real quick?
Okay.
So it's a $5.5 billion project.
Oh, so that thought it was... Anyway.
What it did better. It's a $5 billion. It's a big project. Why do they care if it's lakefront, if it's a dome? Can't see the lake.
Well, you saw the renderings. It looks pretty nice right by the lake.
Well, like
there's like a
picturesque, but you're not like getting any of the benefits of like, ooh, look, the lake. You know, like where you like kind of want to overlook the things that you're near.
For tailgating or before the game, there's green space, people hanging out, and there happens to be a lake next to it. It looks good.
It's fine. I don't know if they're getting whatever they're trying to get from the city, $2.5 billion. We'll see.
Huh.
I'm just asking. I didn't know. It didn't seem like it didn't
I mean, they don't have control. They don't have to let people boat their way into the stadium to have a lakefront stadium.
You also gave me a quote over the break, and I've decided there's a new player off my official board.
Okay.
So my personal Chiefs board, off my board. I don't want them to draft him at 32.
Anyway.
I don't want them to trade up for him. Cooper DeJean, the corner, done. He said in an interview with general managers, he thinks he can beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one in basketball. He'd get his ass kicked. He'd lose.
That does sound like a question that
they're like the
would ask
same
him.
Height.
He said he got asked it multiple times, which is like, of course he was. Of course he got
those
asked.
Those weird questions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he couldn't ball up a little. He's a great athlete. I'm not saying he couldn't hold his own. He thinks he's beating her one-on-one? No. That ain't happening.
That's why you wouldn't draft him.
That's correct.
The good news is he probably is not going to be there unless you trade up significantly.
Yeah, so. Most people think he's going like between 15 and 25. So. Mm-hmm. That's not significantly. I mean, that's in the 20s. You never know. This is probably sending him like just barreling down lists. I can't. Or maybe up. Maybe all these GMs are like, yeah, I'm glad you said you could beat somebody who's
better. Everybody reads into the answer. If he would have said, nope, she would beat me, then there'd be some GM that'd say, I don't like that. He thinks he can't beat somebody right away without even trying. That's not a good sign.
If somebody picks him.
Without even trying. Her sport is basketball. She is a generational basketball player. What would be like, yeah, I could probably take her down. I don't know what their height difference is. I mean, it's not like he has to go up against like 6'9" basketball players, but Caitlin Clark and Cooper John are probably the same size, right?
If somebody picks him because he said he could beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one, then that team's probably not very good. They're probably not.
Well, it turns out a lot of these teams are pretty stupid. He's 6'1", 207 pounds.
He's been labeled as like a hybrid guy. He can play corner, he can play safety, he could play, you know, slot. He can do everything.
She is 6', so he's got an inch on her. 155. The weight's going to be tough. He could, like, you know, body her a little bit, but that's about it.
All right, we'll get back into other teams' draft process and what's going on in Cincinnati in just a little bit. But you're not as desperate, I guess, to get a left tackle as others. Look, I've been wanting a left tackle for a while. What's your reason for you said you're not totally against it, but you just don't think it's a priority?
I'm not desperate for it. Does that make sense? Like, I think sometimes we get in these positions where we're like, gotta have it. They really need a left. It's time to get Patrick Mahomes the protection he deserves. This goes a lot to, like, where they've been the entire Mahomes era. And I know you could, like, make the argument for wide receiver last year, certainly. But Patrick Mahomes has had elite weapons at wide receiver before and has won a Super Bowl with elite weapons at wide receiver before. I would say, at best, in any given year, the best left tackle play Patrick Mahomes has ever received is slightly above average. He's never had great elite-level left tackle play. Perfectly fine left tackle play, which is what he's gotten, or even slightly below average left tackle play, is what he's gotten the entire time he's in Kansas City, and he's one of the lowest sacked quarterbacks in the leagues every year. Does not stop his running ability. He has not been overly hurt versus any other quarterback in the NFL. They've won a bunch of rings. Left tackle has never been a thing that has held them back. So I don't feel desperate for a position that has never been the reason where I'm like, damn, you came up short because. The only time they came up short from the offensive line, they had 72 injuries on the offensive line before the Super Bowl. A different circumstance. And even then, they had some injuries on the offensive line, and it didn't stop them from getting all the way to the game. It was just the nail in the coffin when Eric Fisher eventually got
it. I'll say a couple things with that. So when you have fairly high-level right tackle play, then I don't think the left tackle is as problematic. The problem is, you're banking. Are you confident, and they're paying him like they are, but are they confident that Juwan Taylor, the issues he had last year, the spotlight that he had placed on him since week one of last season, and it was tough to adjust, is he able to go through a full offseason this year, make those adjustments to where the spotlight's not on him, and will that lead to just better play? And if you're getting much better play at right tackle, then maybe, yeah, the left tackle is not as pressing. Because I know the injury Eric Fisher at the end, but Mahomes did, for a couple years in his career, have Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz left and right. Not bad, right? Uh-huh. Not bad.
So that's like the Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill version of it. No, Mitchell Schwartz at the time was probably the best right tackle in football. And Eric Fisher, I would again say, was average. Like, slightly above average. He was a good left tackle. I don't think he's ever got top 10 left tackle play. That's what I mean.
I still think this is more of like a legacy conversation, but like Eric Fisher, because of where he was drafted, number one overall, and everything like that, and the initial start to his career, I still think he was underappreciated in his final like 5 years. He actually was really freaking good.
Fisher?
And Eric Fisher.
I just
think that because he got drafted number one overall and how people perceive the first year or so, that people already made up their mind. But that's a whole separate conversation. Look, I just think it's one thing to go through a season, and you're right. Last year, you know, wide receiver, look, they didn't have a great wide receiver crop. They still won. You're saying the 1 year where they didn't have a great offensive line play, they lost in the Super Bowl. But that was, as you said, related to injury. Like, just because you get through something for X amount of years doesn't mean that, like, I'm just good with having a spot starter at left tackle again. Now, Donovan Smith played at a better level at times than I think, again, he's appreciated for. You know, you've brought up David Bakhtiari, maybe you'd be interested in. For all the concerns that people had this time last year or in May of Donovan Smith, was because of injury. I don't really want David Bakhtiari. Injured. That guy can't stay healthy. He's an All-Pro 5 years ago.
I know, and so, Donovan Smith missed time last year, but he was more healthy than he had been. I think they're better at keeping teams healthy. I think some of it is just the overpayment. I honestly think in order to get the left tackle that they probably would feel comfortable getting, they're going to have to pay to go up. And every analytical analysis would suggest to you that the team who trades up loses the trade value-wise, like war based on like the players they get later in the draft versus the two picks versus the one they get up there, the team who trades down wins 80% of the time. So it's not to say you can't win it. You definitely can. And I've told you, the Chiefs can take more risks going up than most teams. It's like, God, I'd rather just save it for... like. And it's not that this is a non-deep left tackle draft. It's a good tackle draft.
No, I mean, we just mentioned the stats yesterday, though, and I know some of it is talking about just second contracts, but offensive tackle had, what was the graphic from Schefter? Was it 70% hit rate on offensive tackles that were drafted in the first round that get a second contract, and wide receivers were like 25% of the time. Now, some of that we think maybe is just where the market is headed, but there's something to be said for that. Like, if you're drafting a tackle in the first round, there's a good chance he's good enough to get a second contract, which means he's a pretty damn good starter. I just don't like the thought of going in, and it sounds like you're good with it, which I think the text line agrees with you, that for the next 3 years, you're just good with constantly bringing in a different veteran to play left tackle. And a
I'll take my shot depending on the year. I'm not saying I'd never do it. The other thing that I would be interested if I were the Chiefs is, the next time a Trenton Williams is on the market, that'd be my game. Trading for a known product.
Can't pay
tackle.
Everybody on the offensive line, though. Like that, I guess that's part of my thought process of why maybe they need to go.
They need one cheap person.
Because
I just think Jawan Taylor's contract will come up in a year and a half, so I can start paying a left tackle now.
Because Jawan Taylor, as of March of this year, his following year's contract became guaranteed. So like they're not, we thought maybe they could get out of it. It's already guaranteed for next year now, my understanding, as of like May 10th or something of this season. So they're paying big time money at right tackle. We both agree that Creed Humphrey's probably getting an extension. While center money's not huge, he's going to be the highest paid center in football if he gets a new deal. At right guard, I don't think they're going to pay Trey Smith. So maybe that's where in this year's draft they go and get a third round guard, and it's someone that can, grow behind Smith for this year. Left guard, the deal looks good, but they're still paying Joe Tooney decent money, and he might be gone in a year or two. I guess I would rather not have to go and pay a free agent market price for a left tackle when maybe I can go really get expensive. A left tackle.
Like if you look at like what Penei Sewell got, they're getting expensive. I understand that part of it. I'm just not pressured. Yeah. People have been apparently Cooper Jones was pretty good at basketball in high school, by the way. He's Iowa's second all-time leading basketball scorer.
There you go.
He's ahead of Harrison Barnes, NBA player for all-time points in Iowa. He apparently was recruited to be a Division I basketball player. So he's pretty good, I guess. I had not considered the fact. His and-one mixtape, not bad. He's thrown down some pretty sick dunks. I still think her shooting, like, part of the thing is, like, make it tough for him now is, like, she's actively playing. He just had her playing football. You think he plays pickup at the rec?
Not while he was prepping for the draft, going to tear an ACL right before the draft.
Like, freshman, sophomore year of college.
Probably.
You think he goes with his frat and plays some ball at the rec?
You think he was in a frat while he was playing football at Iowa?
I don't know. What, football players can't be in fraternities?
I don't think they have time.
Oh, you think there's not enough time?
Yeah, I'm serious. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to guess no. I'm going to guess that his frat is his team. Right? That's his football fraternity.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's my guess. That's my guess. Can we talk about how our guy Drew's feeling today?
Hey, Drew. You okay, man?
Our guy Drew with Cincinnati. The reports yesterday from Adam Schefter that Trey Hendrickson, not happy with his deal. One of the better defensive linemen in football. Wants
like
a new
17
deal.
17 sacks or something last year?
Requested a trade. Then Adam Schefter reaffirmed what was reported earlier this offseason, which was that T. Higgins, not happy, hasn't gotten the discussions that he's wanted for a new deal. He wants to be traded. T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson, two of their four best players on the team, maybe. One out. Their owner sounds cheap as hell. And it's a reminder of how difficult it is to take care of everybody when your quarterback's going to be making money, when Ja'Marr Chase is going to be making some money here soon. You can't keep everybody, and you don't have anything to show for it yet.
Drew can talk here in just a moment, as he's dealing with a technical issue back there.
Bad timing on our part.
He probably called that guy in just to avoid this conversation.
He doesn't want to talk about Cincy.
Look, tough day for Cincy. You know what I love about this is that they're admitting the level of desperation other teams have that the Chiefs don't, because one of the reports out of there, and look, Trey Hendrickson is threatened to retire if they don't trade him. So as much as the report that said Cincinnati's no interest in trading T. Higgins or Trey Hendrickson because they're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, they're not about giving away star caliber players before the draft in the middle of a Super Bowl window. They're admitting what we all know, which is their window for Super Bowl championships is closing shut in a hurry because everyone's getting expensive, and the guys that they don't want to pay that they're desperately trying to hold on to for a last little bit of juice for a good roster don't want to be there anymore because they're not paid commensurate with their talent, with their production. So, like, they know their window's closing. It's great news for the
I'll
Chiefs.
I'll push back on the
windows closing. Ah, there he is. There he is.
The window, is, as Joe Burrow said, the window is his whole career.
I do not agree with that. That only exists for very few quarterbacks in NFL history.
Joe Burrow's one of them.
It's a problem, though, Drew, if your owner is not willing to pay money to these guys.
The thing with Trey, this is the problem with the Trey Hendrickson thing, is that he signed a deal last year. If he wanted more guaranteed money, he shouldn't have signed the deal last year.
Oh, you know that's not how this works in the NFL, though, man.
I mean, look, that's good theory.
Because a player can sign a deal, and then they outperform, and they want a new deal all the time. I mean, this happens all the time in sports.
Before he signed the deal last year, he had, like, 15 sacks before. Like, he was already a very good defensive end. He just had another year on top of it.
The report was he signed a deal last year, though, because it still wasn't what he wanted, but he was willing to be somewhat of a team player. They gave him a little bump, and he always knew that he was going to come back.
Almost half his market value.
And that's not Mike Brown's fault. Trey Hendrickson's agent, for him to he shouldn't have encouraged.
You want
to
be on the side of Mike Brown?
Hang on. He shouldn't have told Trey to sign the deal if he felt that it was short. He shouldn't have signed the deal.
So is your take though that you signed a bad deal? How dare you ask for more money? That happens all the time
in
the NFL.
That happened to Salvador Perez, and they just gave him more money instead.
Yeah, but
bring in baseball because that's like a completely different, like the way the whole situation there is set up. Like, not in the cap or anything. But like,
no.
Look at DeAndre Hopkins.
If Chris Jones has 20 sacks next year and is like, I need more money.
He's not, because he's literally got the largest. The difference is,
I know, but
Chris Jones has the biggest contract in the NFL on the defensive line already. So he's not going to come back next year and ask. Your guy is getting half the money he should be getting paid.
Oh, no, I don't disagree that he shouldn't be getting paid more. But the thing is, from what all has been reported, it's the guaranteed money. It's not even the contract. The contract is fine. It's I'm not making enough guaranteed money to be content with.
I don't think they believe in your guy, Joe Burrow. I think that's what it is, Drew. They don't believe in your guy, Joe Burrow. They don't think he can take him to the promised land. They want out.
The thing that really screws the whole thing up is his agent's an idiot. For him to come out and say,
For
him to come out and
say, signed that deal,
Trey wants to play for the Bengals. Trey also wants to play for another team, but also Trey is considering retirement. There's all the leverage that Trey had in this scenario is gone.
No, he brought it back by saying he'd retire. All the leverage back when he said, I'll just quit. Right? That's good leverage. Saying I'll quit's good leverage.
I don't think because
then you get no value and you don't get the player.
Drew, are you worried
worried? They would lose out, but I'm not worried in the stance that they would miss him. They would miss him this year, but they've done what every team should be doing is drafting a defensive end. They've drafted a defensive end every single year the last 3 years. They've got guys that are in the rotation that can be elevated to a starter that would be very good, who have been first round picks.
But Drew, this is the team that Burrow had last year, and as of right this second, is still the best team he's ever going to have in his career in terms of talent around him. And only he's going to get harder. Does that concern you? And he can't stay healthy.
I mean, it's always been that way, though. It's always, whether they have Trey Hendrickson or not, or Teagans or not, it was always going to be that way because it's can they draft well?
I just don't know how you can say how the window is wide open when your quarterback for starters has to be available for at least 16 games at minimum a year.
I think the window's wide open because whenever he's been healthy, they've made it to at least the AFC title game. And they went 9-8 last year.
I know, but like he's not
out for over half the season.
But that means he's only made the AFC title game twice. He's been a starter in the league for 5 years. I mean, that's not a bad ratio. Most teams
would take
that.
If you look at all the other quarterbacks in the AFC, nobody's done that.
You know that there's
only... Other than Mahomes.
But you know that there's only been like 30 quarterbacks in NFL history, right? So less than two that have made multiple Super Bowls in their career. Like, they're admitting, like... It's weird for you to not admit that their window is closing when they're admitting it. They're saying, we're not giving away talented players when we have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Those guys will be gone. Then we'll have to figure it out.
I think Mike Brown's consensus has always been you play. Like, if
the window's open forever, you trade Tyreek Hill because you're like, screw it, we can win for the next 15 years.
The way that the Bengals have operated is if they expect you to fulfill that all out and they don't pay you early,
There's consequences to that.
And like Mike Brown's been a lot better in terms of paying guys. It's just that for T. Higgins, they had the option for the franchise tagger to pay him, and they knew, okay, we have to pick between T and Ja'Marr Chase. It was always going to be T. Higgins is going to get the short end of the stick. It was always going to be that way, which is where his situation is not surprising. Trey Hendrickson's situation is more surprising because he signed a deal just last year where we know the output that you're getting, but the way that Mike Brown operates is he probably should pay him.
So
right now, he should pay Trey Hendrickson right now because they got the cap space and they're going for a Super Bowl. He should do it, but I wouldn't be surprised based on Trey Hendrickson signing that contract.
People have done that, though. I mean, like, DeAndre Hopkins did this, like, less than 5 years ago and got himself traded and got himself a brand new contract. He had 17 and a half sacks last year. Look, he only has $8 million in guaranteed money coming his way. All the people who were paid above him on the average annual per year standpoint have at least 50 or 60, in some cases, $110 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, and that's Trey's thing. And the Bengals, I mean, for what it's worth, they haven't, I'm sure guaranteed money was the problem with T. They wanted to re-sign
and
T.
And why
I'm
is
sure,
guaranteed
but,
money, what's required when you do guaranteed money, Drew? Guaranteed money requires what? Money to be put aside in escrow.
Yeah.
And why is that an issue for Cincinnati?
They're not in that situation where
their owner's cheap.
Yeah, they're not in a situation that they feel comfortable doing that.
And that's the problem. Like that's an issue long term for sustained success. And that's why people can put out an F- grade for Clark Hunt on the NFLPA survey, and people can have complaints about the practice facility not being up to date. He's handed out massive contracts that have required, you know, hundreds of tens of millions of dollars in money being put aside. He's willing to do it because they're in a window to win. It sounds like Cincinnati's owner is not willing to do it. That would suck if I were you and a Cincinnati fan.
Well, that's where the situation with Trey Hendrickson is very weird, because he signed the contract last year. It's not like he signed a 2-year deal. It's not like he signed a 5-year deal and it didn't work out. Or he's not like he signed a 5-year deal and he wants to re-up. He signed a 2-year deal and has played 1 year through it and says, "Hey, I want to."
He's done being the team player. Like,
the Bengals are not going to. They're not going to give him that money when they know that they've drafted DN the last 3 years and they feel comfortable in that position where they got guys who can fill his role. Maybe not as well, but they can fill it and they can address D tackle like they need to.
Do either get traded?
The most likely to get traded is Hendrickson.
I agree. I think Hendrickson does get traded.
I think one of them is not going anywhere
to at this point, right? I mean, how do you not trade one of them? You can't risk. I would be trying to trade one of them tonight if you want to know the truth and get somebody that can help me right away for this upcoming season. You wait till August, or July, you're not getting anything that's going to help you in this upcoming season. If your window is closing, and I think there's a chance it is, to me, you need to move on from one of them tonight and try to put a trade together tonight to go get picks so you can help yourself for this upcoming season.
If I'm the Bengals, look, more power to you, Trey. You can go get paid somewhere else. You signed a contract. If you want to play this year out, we can talk again. But if you want to get traded, we'll send you to Arizona. You can suck, and we'll get the 27th overall pick. And we can go from there.
I don't think you're getting the 27th overall. Brian Burns is younger. They had to give him a contract, too. They didn't give up a...
If they give up a second...
2 seconds, right? Is that what they gave up?
They could give Trey a second and then next year's third and get a first-round pick. They'll have 2 first-rounders and move on.
Brian Burns. Let's see. What was his trade? Because that's your best comparison, you know.
The only way that the Bengals have the window... It didn't matter if Trey was there. They always were going to have to draft well for them to have the window still be open. So I think the fact that Trey wants to leave it is whatever. It sucks, but it's not like the window is shut because they have to trade Trey Hendrickson or get rid of T. Higgins. That was always going to happen.
The reason
in
why,
my opinion,
we have seen the Chiefs show that they can win in different ways with different personnel when they've had also a lot of money to star players. Cincinnati had an opportunity when they weren't really paying anybody a ton of money. They didn't win anything. And that's why going to the Super Bowl against the Rams and losing is, I think, devastating for that franchise. And now it's only going to get tougher. Joe Burrow's money's going to kick in here in about a year.
Jamar's going to have to get paid.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think there's a chance the window is closing. There's always another.
You can reset a new window.
Yeah. Like, the Chiefs aren't going anywhere. You have a team like Houston that's on the rise. Like, look at Buffalo's the same circumstance here. Things are tougher for them now. That's why there's teams that are surpassing the Bills. I think Cincinnati has another year where they're still one of the top two or three teams in the AFC. Then it's going to get even more challenging. Will Houston surpass them after this season? I think there's a chance.
And you could say the Bills haven't drafted particularly well because they've been close, but they haven't been good enough, and they've paid a lot of money to a lot of guys where the Bengals are on the side of we're going to rely on the draft.
All right, coming up next, we'll get an update on the Royals. Of course, their win last night, some injury news and a move happening, it looks like, in the last couple of minutes. And what is left for Brett Veach to actually prove in the draft? I don't know if there's much left at all. We'll explain next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights.
Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.